Anyway, we're glad to be here. Just going to have a brief message this afternoon on kind of concluding our month of our emphasis on the faith promise and missions and giving and things like that. I wanted to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and look at just three familiar verses this afternoon. I know we've probably heard several messages from these before, but I just wanted to do three points from these of something that we don't need to forget. I know we always are reminded of this, and it's something that should be on the forefront of our hearts, but I want to make it kind of a specific, and I want to entitle the message this afternoon, Specific Prayer Requests for Missions. Specific Prayer Requests for Missions. Let's look at chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, and let's begin in verse number 1. Finally, brethren, this is Paul speaking, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Father, just bless this brief time around your word, that we'd be encouraged, Lord, to continue in our prayers for our missionaries in a very specific manner. Lord, I pray that you just open up your word to understanding, and we'd be blessed this afternoon. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, in our brief time here together, I just wanted to bring out the kind of the emphasis on prayer. We talk a lot about, you know, that we've been hearing about the giving. We need to give to our missionaries. We need to support them. Our pastor's just been preaching some excellent messages on that of late. But beyond the idea of giving, I want us to think about this opportunity we have to pray. And I've appreciated our church here, the emphasis we have with our prayer booklets. We're able to have those prayer booklets. We have a list of all of our missionaries. We have specific requests for each one of them. I know in the front, I know many of you have looked at that. In the front of our prayer booklet, our pastor has written several specific ways in which we should pray for our missionaries. And I know they have physical needs. They have the spiritual environment there of the people that we need to pray about that, the hearts of the people they're ministering to, that the Lord would provide for their housing needs, their food needs, or the money maybe to build their church, or whatever the different things that we pray for. But I wanted to notice here in 2 Thessalonians 3 that Paul, as a missionary, now we think about Paul, probably one of the greatest missionaries of all time, how he traveled throughout the known world after the days of Christ when he was converted, and how he went to different places and he established churches and he preached the word and he revisited and he discipled and he built up those people that were believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a missionary, I want us to notice this afternoon that Paul's request for prayer, his specific requests, were based in the spiritual. Hope that as you read with me those three verses there, that he didn't ask anything about, provide money that I need, or provide, for the lodging that I need, or maybe my clothing, whatever. He didn't really, now obviously he needed those things. And we've read different passages in Acts, how he was a tent maker. He was able to do things to gain provisions. But the emphasis here in these three verses is on spiritual needs that Paul had. And I want us to look at these quick verses, and I want to bring out these specific prayer requests. Now, before we get into that, let's just look at the first verse, because the action is, brethren, pray for us. In the Greek, this word is the present tense, and it's the imperative mood. It reminds me back of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, how Paul had already told them to pray without ceasing, to be in a continual mindset of prayer. I know it's difficult for us sometimes. We go through the day, we get busy, and prayer kind of slips beyond us. But have you ever, caught yourself going through the day and maybe just kind of uttering a small, quiet prayer to yourself, Lord, help me with this that I'm fixing to do? You ever caught yourself doing that? Or, something's coming up, Lord, I'm fixing to take, I've heard our pastor before say, somebody's on a phone call or he's fixing to answer an email. Just quickly say, Lord, just help me here. Give me wisdom as I take this phone call. I see who it is. Well, we got the modern technology, the caller IDs and all those kind of things. Uh-oh, I may not want to answer that, But we say, Lord, just give me wisdom. I don't know what this is going to be about. Or, Lord, just help me. And sometimes, as believers, we forget to have that continual attitude of prayer, just to pray without ceasing. And that's what Paul was asking these to do. Pray continually. It's the present tense. It doesn't mean to pray once and stop, and then maybe, a few days later, we'll just pray again. No, be in a continual state of prayer about these requests that Paul is going to give. Now, I want to bring out three things as we just go through this brief message. Three things that Paul requested for. And I've tried to put them in a little bit of an alliteration. I did it for Devin. Devin, we always joke about it in a Bible class. We have a curriculum that we're using, or a book that we're basing it on. And the guy who wrote the book, he tries to outline the books of the Old Testament with an alliteration. And sometimes he kind of stretches them a little bit. So we have fun with that. So Devin and I always joke around about that. But I did alliteration for you. So maybe if nothing else, you can remember three D's. Well, D for Devin. There we go. It worked out great. So anyway, the first thing that he prayed, wants to pray for, is notice in verse number 1, when you pray for the missionaries, when you pray for me, Paul says, pray for the dispersion of the word, that the word of God would be propagated, that the word of God will not be hindered as it goes forth from my lips, from maybe Silas or Timothy, whoever was involved in his ministry, that the word of God would not be hindered. It says here that the word of the Lord, again, this is a very familiar phrase, may have free course and be glorified. Now, some of you may have a notation in your Bible, or maybe you may have a different version, but notice that may have free course literally means to run. It literally means to run. The New American Standard says that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly. That's kind of the idea there in the Greek, that this word is going to run forth so quickly, and it's going to be at its full potential of being spread. This word was used of athletes who exert all their strength to run in a race, as well as those, maybe it was used as well for, let's say you were in a situation of extreme peril. Or, you know, I've heard of these stories before. I don't know how true they are, but these people that have these adrenaline rushes, they walk out to the garage and they see the car fell off the jack or something was laying on top of one of their children, and they go up there and pick the whole car up. Have you ever heard of stories like that? Maybe I'm nuts or something. Maybe I read too much Reader's Digest when I was a kid. I don't know. But you hear stories like that. What's the situation? There's extreme peril here, and I'm going to exert all my force, all my energy, and give all my effort to overcome this situation. That's the idea in the Greek of this word, what it was used for. So the word of the Lord would run or go forth with all of its might, with all of its power, and it would go to the greatest extent possible. Then it would go to places where we think, Lord, those people are never going to hear your word. They're never going to understand. Oh, you know, why am I wasting my time? Sometimes maybe that mentality would creep in. But Paul says, let's pray that it would not be hindered, that it will run to its fullest extent. And the word of God is able to run when its proclamation spreads. When we, Paul says, as a missionary, when I'm traveling, if I'm proclaiming the word, then the word of God is running. The word of God is spreading. The word of God is being dispersed to those that are listening here to the word. And this can never happen too fast. It can never go too far. Our world is desperately in need of the gospel. You know, I know, Paul, that this is a request that he's making for himself, but, you know, I think about what us as well. What about the running of the gospel? Do we contribute to the running of the gospel? Are we sometimes, so many times, we get apathetic or lethargic when it comes to the word? And, you know, well, you know, so-and-so will speak to that person. I don't have to worry about it. Or that other brother over there, he can deal with that problem or maybe get witness to them. Are we apathetic or do we not want to contribute to the running of the word? And Paul here is praying and asking the Thessalonians to pray that nothing will get in the way of the gospel, that nothing will hinder the gospel, that its full force will be known around the world. And notice here also in verse number 1, what's the result of the word of God running? What's the result of praying for the word of God to continue is that it will be glorified. That it will be glorified. Now, notice that Paul doesn't say that, you know, that I'll be glorified or that my ministry will be glorified. No, that the word will be glorified, that God the Father will be glorified. And it is to be preeminent. I love the our little phrase that we have here, Christ preeminent, the word of God preeminent. Those things, that should be the focus. That should be what we pray for. Again, as this metaphor continues, the full exertion in the running of the race, what happened at the end of the race? You know, they had whoever won the race gets what? A prize. They're kind of glorified in a sort of way. You know, they get a prize. They get honor. And this is what Paul is saying, that the word of God will run the race. Nothing will hinder it. It'll be in its full exertion of strength. And that glory will come to God as a result. Now, how does glory come to God? Through the word. It's when men believe it. It's when the word is preached. And Paul says, pray for me that the word won't be hindered so that men will believe and glory is brought to the Father. First prayer request, the dispersion of the word. But secondly, look in verse number 2 as we continue quickly. Paul requests not only for the dispersion of the word, but for deliverance amidst adversity. It's almost like he's praying here in verse number 1. He says, well, we want the word not to be hindered. But is that really the full reality of our world? Is the word hindered? Are there times where the devil is trying to hinder the word? Yes, he is. And so Paul says it's almost like it's an understood, well, we know that there is going to be opposition. There are going to be those that are going to try to stop the propagation and the dispersion of the word. So he says in verse number 2, pray also that in the midst of adversity, God will bring the deliverance. Verse 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Here are these unreasonable and wicked men who don't believe, who don't have faith. This unreasonable type of men, and the deliverance that they needed from that has the idea of being rescued, being taken out of the trouble, being taken out of the danger. Now, try to get the picture here. The Word of God is spreading quickly. There are men who would love to see the Word stopped. They want to see the Word of God hindered. Satan does not want to see the growth of the kingdom of God. He hates God's program. He hates God's kingdom. And he's going to use wicked, unreasonable men who have not faith. He's going to use them in an endeavor to stop the propagation of the Word. Silence the voice of the missionaries. Silence Paul. Silence those that are proclaiming God's Word. Those who would love, in verse 2, to silence the Word of God are the unreasonable or the wicked. This has the idea of being perverse. In the Greek, it's the idea of being out of place. Being out of place. They're improper men. They're out of place because of their stubborn refusal to believe. One of the commentaries that I read, he said, these men might themselves refuse to accept the Word and still permit those who will to believe it. But no, they're not content with them rejecting the Word. They want you also not to believe. The devil rouses them to make efforts to destroy the preaching of the Word and the very preachers themselves. You know, it's one thing, if you choose not to believe, fine. Just don't believe in God and go about your merry way. But they want to stop the spread of the Word. They have this out-of-place hatred and stubbornness that dwells up in their heart, and they don't want to see God's Word spreading. They don't want other people believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the work of Satan to stop the kingdom of God. Now, I tell you, we would be fools to think that the gospel just kind of goes out without no opposition. I mean, we so often in America, sometimes we get the mindset that, you know, we have religious freedom here, liberty, we can proclaim God's Word, but that's not the case throughout the world. As we saw the last Wednesday night, the stories of persecution of missionaries that we know and the problems that they're facing, and how in the Islamic world, for example, they're putting them in prison, they're killing them, they're burning the churches, all those kind of things. We would be fools to say, well, you know, this could never happen in America. The days could come. There is opposition that increases to the spreading of God's Word. It's a real issue. It's a real problem. Satan hates God's Word going out. And he says, well, I may not be able to stop it completely, but maybe I can hinder the progress a little bit. Maybe I can slow it down. And I'm going to use these unreasonable men to do it. Paul prays for deliverance from those who would stop the gospel. They were out to stop him. They were out to stop the gospel. And our missionaries today face the same problems. Our prayer should be for them as well. Lord, deliver them from those who don't believe and who don't believe and don't want anybody else to either. Lord, deliver them from that. That should be our prayer. So number one, the dispersion of the Word. Secondly, pray for the deliverance of our missionaries, of God's people that proclaim the Word from adversity. Then thirdly, verse number 3, almost as if to acknowledge, Paul, the reality that God may not bring deliverance. Now, would God always bring deliverance from adversity? Did Paul face adversity that ultimately cost him his life? Yes. Yes, he paid the price for it. All throughout history, you see the stories of the missionaries or other martyrs who paid the ultimate price of their life because of their propagation of the Word. And so Paul says, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We want to pray for the Word of God to be dispersed, for it to go forth. We want to pray to be delivered from wicked men, but if God chooses not to deliver you, thirdly, he requests prayer for dependence on a faithful God. God may not deliver the missionary. God may leave them in that difficult situation. God may let the opposition grow. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the purposes and the plans for what he does. And Paul says in verse 3, almost as if it's understood, but the Lord is faithful. That's who I'm going to depend on. Yes, I pray for deliverance, but if God doesn't bring it, I'm going to depend on a faithful God. The desire is for the gospel to run. And yes, there are men who are trying to stop it, the spread of the gospel. And there may be times that God may not answer that prayer. He may not deliver. So a final request here is that we serve a faithful God. He can establish us. He can keep us from evil. And no matter what God does in response to the situation that we pray for, we understand that He is faithful, that He knows what is going on, and so we should rely on Him, depend on Him. The verb is there, but the Lord is faithful. It's in the present tense. Isn't that just wonderful? That God is what? Always faithful. It's a continual thing with God. You know, you can't rely on men to be continually faithful. You know, we're up and down. We change a lot. But God is what? He's just constant. He's steady. He's just continued His faithfulness. You know, I think about it. We've said it before. This ministry, you look at 50 years of just what? Men have changed, men have come and gone and left, done things, messed things up, got things right, all kinds of things going on. But what's God? He's just faithful for 50 years, just continues to be faithful. So yeah, deliverance may not come, but who are we going to depend on? A faithful God who's going to establish us, who can firmly root us, who can keep us from all evil. Paul desires this dependence on a faithful God. And he realizes that the Thessalonians, we need this dependence as well. So he says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you, the ones that are praying and the missionary. God is faithful to all of us, and he will establish us, or he will make us stable. He will firmly fix us. He will, it even says there, to keep you. He'll set a watch around you. He'll guard you and protect you. Now, it may not look like, you say, Lord, this is getting bad. Terrible things are happening around here. Lord, what are we going to do? Just continue to depend on him. He's going to put a watch around you. He's going to guard you. He's going to protect you because he knows what things are coming to our lives. So here, notice quickly at the end of verse number 3. It says, and he will keep you or guard and protect you from evil. Now, in the Greek, the New American Standard and other versions have it translated this way. It's more of the evil one. It is not some absolute, it's a concrete, a personal method of presentation that this is consistent with the context. We could go back and look at, there's kind of been a little debate about this, but you could go back and look at other verses. You could look at the context that clearly it is the evil one that is being discussed here. And God will keep us from the evil one because what's he trying to do? He's trying to stop the word of God going out, as we saw in verse number 2. He's trying to stop it. The evil one doesn't want God's word out, and so he's going to try to stop. He's going to try to attack and persecute and bring all kinds of things into life to unemphasize the gospel. But we need to rely on the faithful God who will protect us from the evil one. You know, we may pay a price for it. God may allow things to, he may even take your life for it. But Paul says, you just pray that the Lord will keep us. You continue to depend on that God. We must believe this and accept this. Pray for this for our missionaries and for ourselves as well, that we will depend on a faithful God even when it looks like, now listen, even when it looks like evil is having its way in the world. You look at the world around us today, you watch the news, I can't hardly watch it. I get so mad and frustrated at it. There's something wrong happening all the time. It just irritates me. I don't have time to stress out about this stuff. Just turn the TV off. But it seems like there's always something evil, something terrible going on. And, you know, people are in a panic. Oh, what are we going to do? What all this stuff? I tell you, I know you need to be concerned about things, but I'm going to tell you something. Are we dependent on a faithful God? Because it's looking like evil's just coming everywhere, and the evil one's stopping us, and he's hindering God's word. And, oh, what are we going to do? We're going to continue to depend on God. And if he shuts us down, he shuts us down. We're going to continue to depend on him. If he stops the ministry of one of our missionaries, we're going to continue to depend on God. It could happen. How could God do that? We aren't God. We don't know God's mind, what purpose and plan he has. It may bring greater glory to his name. Our prayer for our missionaries is, Lord, help them that the word of God would not be hindered, that it would be dispersed freely. Lord, I pray that you would deliver them from adversaries. But Father, if you choose not to, if you leave them in a difficult situation, Lord, I pray they would depend on you. And I pray we would do the same here in our ministries that God has given us. Father, we thank you this afternoon for your word. You're so faithful, we can't even argue or complain about what you've done for us. We're so humbled by it. Father, I thank you that you've been faithful in our lives individually. You've been faithful to this ministry for so many years. You've been faithful to our missionaries, Father. And you've kept them, you've protected them from the evil one. Father, I pray we would not get caught up in what's going on around us to where we lose sight that we have a God who, what better thing or what better person to depend on than our Savior and our Father. Lord, as Chrissy played, we are a child of the King. What a wonderful thought that we have a King that has just accepted us into his home, his family, not as a servant, but as a child, as an heir with his own son. Lord, we're humbled. We should just cast our cares upon you and depend on a God who's faithful. And we praise you, Lord, that you are. We just ask, Lord, that you'd help us to be faithful as well to your word in our daily lives and to the spread of the gospel. And we'll leave the results up to you, Father, because you know all things and you are faithful. We thank you, Father, for this time around your word. Help us to be focused in our specific prayers for our missionaries that would be geared toward spiritual things that that are coming up in their lives, and help us, Father, to pray that the Word of God would go forth. In your name we pray. Amen.